Hello and welcome to Sustainability Street, our new podcast on the intersection of real estate and the world we live in. I'm Therese Fitzgerald, Executive Editor of Commercial Property Executive. For our first episode, Committing to Net Zero. For some time now, the real estate industry has pledged to reduce carbon emissions, and many real estate companies have aligned themselves with the emissions reduction goals set by industry and environmental groups. But lately, and increasingly, companies are moving from reduced carbon emission goals to net zero carbon and net zero energy commitments, and the dates by which they will reach those targets are getting earlier. For this episode, I spoke to a number of commercial real estate companies to understand what's behind these net zero commitments, and I spoke to some of the organizations that are helping firms make and satisfy these pledges. Here's what they had to say. Carbon reduction goals are becoming the norm for good corporate citizens. Firms actually committing to net zero carbon operations or net zero energy are trailblazers to an extent, but perhaps not for long. According to Johnson Controls' 2019 Energy Efficiency Indicators Survey, 55% of U.S. companies are extremely or very likely to have one or more facilities that are nearly zero, net zero, or positive energy status in the next 10 years. 52% said they are extremely or very likely to have a facility that will operate off the grid in the next 10 years. And 84% indicated that resilience is a very important factor when considering future energy and building infrastructure investments.
Net zero is sometimes a scary phrase. People don't always know what it means or what it costs or how to go about it, but we do know that it's important.
That's Marta Schantz, Senior Vice President with ULI's Greenprint Center for Building Performance. ULI Greenprint and its members already had calls to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 50% by 2030. When the organization announced a new goal at its annual fall conference in October, they committed to reduce the operational carbon emissions of its members' collective buildings to net zero by the year 2050. Here's Schantz again.
40% of global carbon emissions are from buildings. And so real estate has an opportunity to play its part in slowing climate change and being a part of the solution by reducing its impact on the environment, reducing carbon emissions, and striving toward net zero by 2050. So as Greenprint, part of ULI, we wanted to push that leadership and get our members involved.
Heitman is one of the ULI Greenprint members that announced it was joining ULI Greenprint's net zero carbon by 2050 goal, while simultaneously declaring it would get to net zero carbon operations by 2030. Laura Kraft is Senior Vice President and Head of Heitman's Global ESG Platform. She and Heitman were part of the ULI Greenprint Committee that worked for a year to define the goal's parameters and pathways. So when the new goal was set, Heitman decided to join it. But the company's ESG committee also thought the firm could probably achieve net zero carbon sooner.
There was some talk internally of saying 2050 is so far out. You know, does that mean it makes it a little less tangible? And so internally we said, you know, let's try to set something sooner, and we think we can. And it really, you know, lights a fire to get us going. It's not going to be a cakewalk in essence. It's not going to be something that, you know, we just do tomorrow. But it's over the course of the 10 years, we feel like we can do it. So that's where we came with the 2030 goal. There was a lot of enthusiasm internally of saying, hey, let's push ourselves and let's get there by 2030.
ULI Greenprint's 44 members represent $215 billion in assets under management, or 521 million square feet in over 3,000 properties across 19 countries. 11 members in all have joined the new net zero carbon goal. And Heitman is not the only one of those members to also commit to an earlier net zero carbon timeline. Hudson Pacific Properties is targeting 2025, and Kilroy Realty has said it will achieve net zero carbon this year. Sean said the 11 member commitments to date are a huge start.
Greenprint members have found that reducing carbon and driving energy efficiency in their portfolios makes good business sense. It's really very doable. We also expect some fast followers, if you will, to align with the net zero goal with our next cohort of Greenprint members in the spring. Because the way we've defined net zero for real estate in particular is doable.
Greenprint's definition of net zero carbon, Sean said, allows offsite renewables to help offset the energy and carbon emissions from the building. It is also allowing renewable energy credits and carbon offsets to help counter and make that balance work.
But a lot of times people think of net zero for a specific building. Oftentimes it means you have to completely offset all of your energy usage in that building with on-site renewable energy. And for especially like a high-rise building and in an urban core, the science just doesn't work that way. You can't fit enough solar onto your building to offset the usage, even if it's the most efficient building possible.
And the net zero carbon target will be on a portfolio level rather than one building at a time, Sean said.
And so we're able to think about large power purchase agreements of renewable energy for a portfolio. We're able to think about energy efficiency at scale with different projects across a portfolio as opposed to one at a time. So it's achievable and it's ambitious and it's time.
ULI Greenprint's goal is in line with the Paris Agreement and findings from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius. ULI will track the collective progress on both of its goals, and the results will be published in the annual ULI Greenprint Performance Report. After learning about ULI Greenprint's members' goals, I went looking for other companies making net zero carbon commitments. One of them I discovered is JLL. Last September, the global real estate services company announced that it was committing to achieving net zero carbon operations across all JLL-occupied properties and advocating a net zero approach for all clients and suppliers. The commitment is an expansion of the commitment it made in 2019 when it aligned with the World Green Building Council's net zero commitment for its UK properties. JLL plans to deliver on its World GBC goal while fulfilling its science-based target, which was approved in April of this year by the Science-Based Target Initiative in alignment with the Paris Agreement. The target commits JLL to reduce its Scope 1 and 2 emissions by 68% by 2034 from a 2018 base year. Scope 1 and 2 emissions incorporate those from the offices occupied by JLL's 90,000 employees and from its vehicle fleet. It also committed to reduce Scope 3 emissions, those emitted by the properties it manages, by 53% by 2034. While not an absolute net zero commitment, Richard Batten, JLL's Global Chief Sustainability Officer, calls the company's science-based target the gold standard because it does not permit offsets.
The science-based target, all of their commitments mean that we do not use offsets at all. And that is absolutely crucial in understanding the difference between a science-based target, which is changing behaviors, actually causing emission reduction, rather than just carrying on with the same emissions and merely paying an offset to get them down to neutral or negative. So there is a crucial difference there to understand.
There are indeed a number of pathways for getting to net zero carbon, which the World GBC identifies as highly efficient buildings that are powered from on-site and or off-site renewable energy sources, or net zero energy, where 100% renewable energy is produced on-site. According to Ralph DeNola, CEO of the New Buildings Institute, there are in fact 16 different definitions for zero carbon. NBI has been convening with other members of the Getting to Zero Collaborative, which also includes AIA, ASHRAE, ULI, USGBC, and the World Business Council for Sustainable Development on the definition of net zero carbon. But rather than identify a singular meaning for companies that want to pursue net zero carbon, the collaborative is targeting a framework of essential factors.
So I would say there is not consensus, but that's okay, right? Because we're at this stage where we're trying to really come to an agreement about what those, you know, core elements are. We would argue that we want to make sure that there's, when we choose renewable energy credits and we choose a path where we might do, you know, offsite renewable energy for trying to get to zero, that we want to ensure additionality. So that means that when we are working to, you know, purchase renewable energy credits, we want to make sure that those investments are actually resulting in, you know, new renewable energy development.
But while there is no consensus definition on net zero carbon or net zero energy for that matter, the goals and commitments, Danola said, are still important. Definitions aside, I wanted to know why some companies are transitioning from reduced carbon emissions pledges to net zero carbon or net zero energy commitments. Emma Hughes, a project manager for the USGBC's LEED Building Certification Program, offered one explanation for the increase in net zero carbon commitments when she said that using net zero goals may be a more effective way to convey leadership externally and internally, rather than trying to communicate and explain the relative significance of a percentage reduction.
So I think that's one distinction that we could make between sort of net zero goals and reduced carbon emissions goals. I think within our programs, we have ways to recognize and help project teams establish both types of goals.
For Danola, the change is bigger than that, and it began around the time of the Paris Agreement.
You know, from a framework's perspective, there's this paradigm shift from incremental improvement to absolute improvement over time. It's happening with jurisdictions and it's happening with corporations.
For many corporations, Danola said, it is a way to get out in front of code changes that are coming. For Heitman, a net zero commitment was the next logical step, Kraft said, and it is something that investors care about. As part of its ESG goals, the company has been focusing on reducing energy consumption, tracking carbon, water, and waste for all its properties.
It's a natural progression of our platform that we've been focused on reducing energy for a number of years. And so this takes us to that next level. So I think it's more of, you know, us wanting to seek and improve, you know, how we're running our operations and how we're, influencing and mitigating against climate change and climate risk. So, you know, I think it's more of, it's the next step in our evolution, more so than anything else. Investors do care about it. And so it's important, you know, we're moving all in the right direction.
And Kraft agrees that energy efficiency makes good economic sense for real estate companies.
Ultimately, we have a mission statement of we're investing today with a focus on tomorrow. Real estate is an asset class where you're not flipping in and out of it quickly. You're buying it for a number of years. So you have to think about your entry point and your exit point. We want to make the asset better. By focusing on energy and reducing energy, we're actually reducing energy costs at the asset, which drives up net operating income. So improved net operating income can improve the property value as well. So it's a win-win in many ways.
Dan Winters is president of GRESB, which in its 10 years has become the keeper of real estate's environmental, social, and governance accomplishments by issuing ESG results to all the companies that participate in its annual assessment. Carbon intensities are not yet part of GRESB's assessment, Winters told me, but the organization does score data coverage on greenhouse gas, energy, water, and waste. However, and for the first time this year, they required asset-level data. Companies cannot figure out how to reduce carbon, Winter said, if they cannot count it. Nevertheless, Winters is pleased by the ULI Green Print announcement. Since there is a 100% overlap between the members of ULI Green Print and GRESB, he expects some large private equity funds to announce similar net zero carbon pledges in the next 12 to 24 months.
What are these issues? What is sustainability or ESG? It's really, you know, it's a disguise for progress and change. So organizations and making progress within organizations can be difficult and tricky, right? But people want it for their companies and their clients. They also want it for their communities and their kids. So what you're seeing is 11 organizations that have been able to step forward, sort of wrangle things internally to make these commitments. And what we've observed from 20 plus years, and I'm going to go back to the LEED rating system, what that's done is that's created a language around a series of attributes within a building. And then you get somebody that leads, and they get a LEED Gold plaque. And not to mix our words here, but you get a LEED Gold or a LEED Platinum rating, and then others want to equal it or leapfrog it.
So if net zero commitments are good for the environment and good for business, why isn't every real estate company aligning itself with an ambitious target? According to Shantz, misconceptions about cost are probably the biggest roadblock.
Honestly, folks think it's exorbitantly expensive to improve the sustainability of a building beyond simple code requirements to hit those carbon reductions and net zero carbon goals. But the truth is, when planned early enough in the process with the right experts on your team, those type of targets can be achieved with very little incremental upfront cost and very clear return on investments over the lifetime of the building operations.
Another misunderstanding, Sean said, is that the required technology is not advanced enough yet.
A lot of folks think that, you know, it's not proven, it's not ready, it's too soon, because real estate can be very risk averse, right? It's the way the market goes. And it just takes a few looks at case studies and proven technologies to show that in actuality, we're ready. The technology is here. It's been proven. It's been used in buildings. And it's time for the fast followers to get on board.
Another misconception or market education challenge, you said, is related to the shift to building electrification. Many real estate owners don't know that electric heat pumps are 3 or 4 times more efficient than they were 10 or 15 years ago, and they can perform at full capacity in cold climates. Also, she said, the buildings industry needs to consider the bigger carbon picture, which includes understanding real-time energy usage.
With the changes that we're observing in power grids and the increasing ability to operate buildings more flexibly or in a more sort of adaptive manner, it's becoming really important to address net zero from the broader carbon perspective. So again, net zero energy is a really important goal, but it's not going to get us all of the way there. We also need to make sure that our buildings industry is addressing emissions that are associated with things like the embodied carbon of building materials, you know, occupant transportation, refrigerants, and waste generation.
But USGBC recognizes, you said, that not everyone is at the same place in their sustainability journey. Reducing carbon emissions by a percentage is still an important first step.
We certainly applaud the leaders that you've called out who are making these public commitments to net zero, because we think these early adopters are inspirational and can hopefully encourage more organizations, buildings to follow suit.
CPE will be watching for further net zero commitments, and we will bring them to you on our website and in our energy newsletter. Thanks so much for joining me, and I will meet you next time on Sustainability Street. Feel free to email me with feedback or suggestions for future topics at therese.fitzgerald@cpe-mhn.com. Bye-bye.